Hello and welcome to the Viva Life Show. I'm your host, Josh Boulding. I'm the co-founder of the health and fitness supplement company Vivo Life, and I'm smiling from ear to ear, having just got off the phone with probably my favorite podcast guest to date. This has been a really, really fun episode to record, and I know you guys are going to love it too. It was with none other than Hella Sidibe, who I'm sure needs no introduction to most of you listening. He is the man best known for running every single day for 3 years and counting, covering more than 6,000 miles, more than 11,000 kilometers in that time, racking up a total of more than 900 hours on the pavement. And that is remarkable in itself. But the most remarkable thing you will find as you listen to this podcast is not Hella's physical achievements. It is his enthusiasm, it's his positivity, it's his infectious passion for life. And I am now sitting here, and as soon as I've stopped recording on this, I'm going to lace up my shoes and go for a run myself, not because I'm inspired physically, but because literally just talking to him has given me so much energy and made me want to get out there and do more. And I trust it's going to be the same experience for you too as you listen to it. I really hope you guys enjoy it and enjoy listening to someone who I'm so proud to have as part of the Viva Life family. He's a really inspiring athlete and ambassador, and I know this is just the beginning of what's coming for him. There's bigger things in the pipeline. You'll hear about them on the podcast, and I hope you guys enjoy it. Lots of love, fam. See you on the other side. Speak to you soon.
Dude, I'm gonna kick things off then, and yeah. For anyone that isn't aware of what you do, I think perhaps one of the most remarkable places to start is that as of May the 15th last month, you had completed a run for every day for 3 years, running a total of 6,876.42 miles.
Yeah,
that's 11,066.53 kilometers, a total of 943 hours of running time.
Yeah,
that's a pretty impressive CV, right?
Yeah, when you see it in the numbers, you're like, wow, I can't believe I just completed this kind of a run.
I think the obvious question is why. What was it that inspired you to do that, and what, you know, and when you started, did you think I'm gonna go for 3 years, or was it just literally I'm gonna go out on my first run?
When I first started, it was just go for 2 weeks. That's how it started. Okay.
Wow.
Literally, it was a 2 weeks goal. I told my girlfriend, I want to run every day for 2 weeks. Do you want to join me? She's like, yeah, I want to. And then she kind of like stepped out of it within 2 week time. So I just had a calendar in the back of my room door. So after every run, I do a check. And that inspiration came because I always told myself, hell, you're going to go to the gym every day for a week. And then 3 days later, I stop. And then, oh, hell, you're going to go try to exercise, work out, especially I play football. And every day I get to a point like 3 days in, and then I quit on myself. And I just sit there. I'm like, I'm tired of kind of making excuses and not living up to the promise that I make to myself. And I'm watching a YouTuber from London, Supercars of London. His name is Paul Wallace. So this guy is just a car YouTuber. He said he's never been an athlete in his life. He's never played any sports. But he's like, I want to try running for the new year. Like, and I said, if he can do it as a non-athlete, he believed in himself. I've been an athlete my whole life. I should be able to do at least 10 minutes a day. So that also added more motivation to what I wanted to do. So I went out to run 10 minutes a day for 2 weeks. And then literally the reason was I was deadly afraid of running. No matter what you did in football, soccer in the United States, you play, you don't think about running. But whenever the coach said, get on the line, my stomach just drops. Mm-hmm. I know the pain I'm about to go through. Or if there's a fitness test the next day. So I did not like running. I would have, if I go back to my old Facebook status, it says like the stuff that I would write about running, it was just so funny. Like, I hate this. I'm dead tomorrow. That's why you gotta do this to me? Like stuff like that. So I wanted to fall in love with it without being afraid of it. So that's why I told myself 10 minutes is just enough for me to feel it. And then for me not to also not get anything out of it at the same time. And I wanted to do it pressure free. I didn't care how fast and how long I was going, as long as I complete that 10 mile. So I just start my watch. And then just 10 minutes. And sometimes I didn't even do a mile in 10 minutes. It would be like 0.92. And within a week, I started falling in love with it because there's no pressure. Mm. I didn't have to get a mile in within 10 minutes. I just wanted to run freely. And within 2 weeks in, actually, I was running like closer to 4 miles a day. And when the 2 weeks was coming to an end, I was talking to my girlfriend. I said, you know what? I can see myself doing this for the rest of my life. But let me not put any pressure on myself, because this is why I started this. Let's go for a year, 365 days. That was it. So
beautiful.
Yeah, a year came. Yeah, so quick.
That just shows the power of that habit muscle, right? You know, building that, doing something that is uncomfortable at first, how quickly it becomes part of your routine. And actually, you can fall in love with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember I felt the exact same way about meditation. I knew I wanted to do it, and I knew that I needed to do it. But the actual thought of just sitting down there and just doing nothing was just the scariest experience. But then when I did it once or twice or three times, I was like, well, that's not so bad. I can commit to that. But it's really the hardest part is actually what's going on in your head, isn't it? It's not the physical thing of putting your shoes on and doing it. It's saying, right, I'm going to do it and I'm going to commit to this.
Exactly. That's the perfect way to explain it.
And at what point was there a moment where you found yourself like falling in love with it and you thought this is for me? Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that point. One day I'm out running and I'm just like smiling. What happened was my cheeks were hurting. You know when you smile so hard, your cheeks start getting tight? I'm like, why am I smiling so hard? And I'm thinking, talking to myself, I can't find a reason. Why am I so happy right now? And in the whole run, I'm like, why am I happy? I'm thinking about it. Why am I happy? And I was like, wait a minute. It's because I'm doing this right now. Because there's no other reason that I could think about. And I realized, and I got lost in a run and I forgot that I was even running. And I said, yep, this is it. Something I hated, I'm falling in love with it. And I didn't tell anybody at all. It was just like my girlfriend, my closest friends, some family members. No one knew about this. I didn't put it on social media. And I was so happy I didn't do that, because there's no pressure. The reason those people even knew, because I'm around them. If I'm lacing up, where are you going? Oh, I'm going for a run. I'm trying to run every day for 2 weeks. And I put it on social media day 163. And that was because, thank you to my girlfriend, because of her, I'm meeting you, because she convinced me to put it on YouTube. 163 days in. Yeah, 163 days in. I finally decided to say yes. She was asking me prior to that, you should put this on YouTube. I was like, nah. And I finally said yes on day 163. So we shot a video, and then it was why I run every day. And we put that video up. Next thing you know, it took 2 months. It had 20 views in 2 months. And we're getting up every day. It's like 2,000, 20,000 views. And people are getting questions. Are you still continuing? What's happening with this? And I said, well, I'm going to start answering people and start making more update videos so they see what's going on. So it was just out of passion. It wasn't planned for YouTube, and YouTube became part of it, and I became a YouTuber, which I'm 100% happy with. So all started because I found something that I hated, and I fell in love with it, and it became a passion. And next thing you know, I'm talking to Josh, the man himself from Viva Life.
Well, eventually a career, man. And that's what's so inspiring about it, because it's almost like, you know, these things, you never were looking at the outcome, were you? You were just literally putting one foot in front of the other and saying, right, this is what I'm going to do. And it all fell into place so naturally. And for me, it's a beautiful lesson what can happen when you follow your heart and follow something that you truly love.
Exactly.
Awesome, man. I love it. And so when you completed a year of running, mm-hmm. was there any part of you that said, I'm going to take a week out, I'm going to go on holiday, I'm going to put my feet up? Or were you completely hooked then?
I was sad to get to a year, because I said I'm only going to a year, knowing that I wasn't going to go to that. So I was sad about that part, because I was telling everybody, running every day for 365 days now. And then the year came to a close. Now what? The now what was it that I'm done with it, but that I wasn't going to keep the word that I said. I knew I was going to continue. So I was like, sorry, guys, we're not stopping, but I'm not going to tell you. You can stay tuned and watch. But I was like, let's go for 2 years and see how that felt. And the 2 years was the first year actually was the most beautiful experience, because I had no idea what this was going to be like. By from May to January of that, from May of 2017 to January of 2018, my average started hitting 5 miles a day. And it was, and I was like, wow, that's going up pretty quick. And then as I got to winter, it started to slow down a little bit. When spring was coming up, I was picking it up. Next thing you know, I completed the first year with 7.6 miles a day. I didn't even care. I wasn't even paying attention. I'll just run. Sometimes I'll come back from my run, I don't even stop my watch. It's just rolling. I'm sitting down, so it gets my cool down calorie. I wanted to see all of that. And then everything was just getting recorded, and I'm just leaving it. And when I did all the, because you can see everything from day one. And I'm so happy that I just happened to have an Apple Watch and I was using it. So everything was on record. And I added all the mileage together, and I was like, wow, I didn't know I completed over 2,800 miles in a year. And most of those miles also, I did some of them like 800 plus on treadmill indoor, but the outside run was mandatory. So the indoor run was just extra run. So if I go to the gym, I hop on for a couple of miles more. And then so that added more to the whole experience, and I just couldn't believe it. So getting to year two was the rough year. That was the year of like the mental toughness, because I knew what to expect from the first year. It was all exciting. I did 1 year, and now we're going to 2 years. So what started happening, not having anything that's new that you're discovering about yourself, like the routes that I'm running in the neighborhood. I never look at my watch. It's always surprising. I get home, I'm like, whoa, it's 4 miles, sweet. Or it's 3 miles, sweet. But now I knew every loop. I can go from here and trying to bend it. I come in, I have an idea in my head what miles it would be. So that wasn't so exciting, because I'm like, oh, it's only this much miles. Right. So my mind started playing tricks with me, and I got injured. I tried these new shoes that a friend of mine gave me. It was a Nike Zoom All Out running shoes, Nike called it. And brand new, I put it on, and within a mile in, and I started feeling uneven step with my ankle. Whenever I land, my ankle wants to buckle. So it was starting to pull the inside of my calf muscle. And me being me, I should have been smart and came home and changed. I continued, ended up doing 10K, so 6.2 miles. I get home, calves is so tight, and I'm in so much pain. And I was like, well, hopefully it'll be better tomorrow. And it wasn't. And it started being bad. And I got to a point it was so bad, but I didn't want to break my streak. So I'd do my best to keep running on it, which was a good idea. And I would end up going like 5K. I would end up going like split my run into three different just so I can get the minimum daily mileage in. And I couldn't keep up with even 5 miles. Sometimes 3 miles was a difficulty. It was difficult for me. I'll get home, I'm like in a breaks of tear. I want to cry. That's how much pain I'm in. And I would hide in a room so no one sees me. Like, I'm trying to hold my tear, and that's how much pain I was in. Yeah. And I'm glad I didn't stop. But it took 50 plus days for me to fully heal. And that year, so ended up average one from like 7.6 miles a day the first year. The second year, I just missed 5 miles a day. So it was like 4 points. It was like 4.7 something. And it just dramatically, like we're talking about 3+ miles average per each run for that second year. And I didn't really care about the numbers because I didn't want any pressure. But it was just a dramatic drop for me. And at the end of the second year, I just started doing 1 mile for the next couple of days to let my calf kind of heal up. And I said at the end of the day, a run is a run. It's not about how fast or how long I go. So eventually that started going away, and we get to 1,000. So like, it wasn't like going to year three. It's like, let's get to 1,000. And you're so close. You're like 800 plus days. So the 1,000 days was the next goal. So when that goal came, and it came really fast, and next thing you know, we weren't too far from year three. So we went for year three. So it was just one small goal at a time. But in the back of my head, I know I love this so much. I know it could go till I don't love it anymore. But I wanted to make sure I focus on small individual goals to get there.
Yeah, man. And that's the key. I think you said it there, until I don't love it anymore. You know, if that whilst you're enjoying it and you've got that big infectious smile on your face and you're just, you know, you're embracing every step, then who needs to put a deadline on it?
Exactly.
But if that time comes, then like you say, there is no pressure to say, right, well, I've said I'm going to go for 5 years or 10 years or whatever it is. You can go until this is no more. And then maybe you'll ski every day or surf every day or whatever it is. You know, it could be something.
Exactly. New. Yeah, exactly.
Wicked, man. Well, so I want to really draw attention to perhaps the most inspiring part of your journey, at least for me, and that was the recent runs, right? Yeah. So the 245 miles in 7 days for victims of police brutality.
Yeah.
So Breonna Taylor, Ahmaud Arbery, Sandra Bland, Freddie Gray, John Crawford, Trayvon Martin, George Floyd.
Yeah.
So I could sense when you went out on that first run, there was a lot of fire in your belly there.
Yeah. And
talk to me about that process. Obviously, you know, we're aware of how this came about, but what called you to do something and in the way that you do it, to step out on the pavement and to use that as your activism?
Yeah. So it got to a point in my running journey when I said that it's not about me anymore, because I've had so many experiences. When I'm running, I see people who are amputated. I've seen people who are struggling to walk, let alone run. So I'm like, I'm actually in the back of my head, I'm doing it for you that can't do it, because this is a privilege that not everybody has. And so at that point, after the 365, I said, every time I'm running, I want to do it for a cause. Even I don't care about races, but I'll do it because my audience wants to see it. But I want to run for a cause just bigger than myself. So what happened was we found out about the New York City Subway System Challenge. So the subway system is the length of 245 miles in New York City. And they want to see if you can do it from Memorial Day weekend to Labor Day weekend. So basically, if you run 2 miles a day and that span, you can finish the 245 miles. So I told myself, this is a good training to run across the country. Let's see if I can do it in 10 days or less. So that was the goal. And then next thing you know, George Floyd just happened. So all that stuff is coming up and all the past events. So it connected with me really well, being a man of color and all that. And I've experienced some crazy things, which I could tell you later. So I'm thinking to myself, let me do these run and dedicate it to an individual that we lost, unfortunately, due to racial injustice. I'm just thinking about each individual, and I wanted to share their story through the people, the words of people that love them, that knew them the most. So someone like you, your family knows you personally. They can tell more about you than I can, or the outside world, the media, what the media sees. So that was very important. And when I went out to do the first run, I was very excited, and because I wanted to test myself. But every time that I hit any little pain, anything, I literally, the whole time it was self-talk. It said, Hella, just be quiet. At the end of the day, whatever what these individuals went through, whatever what people are going through in this world still or have gone through, it's going to be nothing near what you're feeling right now. So that kept me motivated every day of the run. I've had some rough days, but all it takes for me is to just think about those individuals and it just goes out the door. And I don't even feel any pain because I'm like, you know what? If this is your worst pain right now, anyone would do. And I said, they would definitely trade their life to get their life back, to go through what you're going through right now, without a doubt. So that kept me motivated. And I picked those individuals. There's many more, but I picked them out because a lot of those stories were seen. There's video proof. The ones that there's not so much evidence, not that they were forgotten, but I wanted to shine lights on these individuals so people get to see how it happened and who they were. And a lot of them related to me too. Like Ahmaud Arbery, a runner. I run every day. I'm in different neighborhoods, sometimes in neighborhoods where I don't even know where it is, but I go through it. People might not know me. In my neighborhood, they know who I am, so I'm less at risk of anything. And Trayvon Martin, he wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to be a pilot. In fact, I took aviation courses. It just didn't go because at that point I had visa issues and U.S. wouldn't allow you to be a pilot after 9/11 if you were a U.S. citizen or permanent resident. So there's a lot of stuff that I related to this, and it could have been anybody. It could have been me, and I wanted to make sure that not only that I was running for their name, I wanted to run and then donate to the specific organization or cause that's helping with their story to help them, whatever case is going on with trying to fight for what's right.
Powerful, man.
Thank you.
Respect. Thank you. It was watching it. I could see what, you're someone that always has a smile on your face. I could see from the outside looking in that it was a challenge.
Yeah.
But like you say, you know, the privilege, and that is the key word, to be able to do this while there are people that sadly don't have that privilege anymore because of what has happened, and to use, again, the way that you use your sport and your passion to shine a light on what is happening in the world was so incredible. Massive respect for that.
Thank you. Yeah. It was a beautiful experience for sure. Everything about it. Yeah.
And how did you manage the recovery process during that? Because obviously, you know, people work up to running a marathon, right? Maybe once in their lifetime. Yeah. You were running 35 miles every single day. How are you managing that process?
I have to give it to plant-based. There's something about it. It sounds very biased, but there's something about this because I played football, soccer at the highest level that you can in the United States. And some of the time before I was vegan, I needed a day off after a tough game or whatever. Since I went vegan, I used to get kicked out of practice because coach wanted me to save my energy for the game. I used to train with people who don't get game time longer, and coach didn't like that. I even went to my coach one day, and he was saying, when you're done with the game, you have to have everything out. You have to feel empty. Otherwise, you didn't give your all. I said, coach, I disagree. I gave my all, and I still have energy to play another game. Not that I didn't. So the recovery process was eating a lot of bagel.
I see a lot of bagels. They seem to be a common theme.
Yeah, a lot of vegan cream cheese with that. I was eating rice, avocado, all that stuff, good fat. I was eating the impossible meat. I was drinking a lot of electrolytes more than water because I learned my lesson. The day I went out to run 50 miles, I was losing a lot of water. I got so dehydrated at mile 40 to complete the last 10 was really rough. So the recovery part was anytime I got an opportunity to get home, I'm hanging my leg against the wall, letting the blood flush down. So I don't have swelling on my legs as much. I'm foam rolling as much as I can. And protein shake. You know what I was doing with Vivo Life? My favorite one, banana cinnamon. Mm-hmm. What I would do is I'll take the scoop because I was eating a lot. My stomach is full, so I couldn't drink a full protein shake. So I take a scoop of Vivo Life, the Perform, dump it in a little tub, a little glass bowl, and then just put a little water. It turns into paste, and I add a little water, and I'm just chugging that and drinking water.
Yo.
Because I wanted to make sure that I get my recovery from Vivo Life, but I couldn't make a full shake because my stomach was so full. Mm. So it was crucial for me to make sure Vivo Life was in me. And I did feel the difference immediately when I first met you guys, when I was taking that, even though I thought in my mind, I don't need anything like that. I get everything through food, but having it in that way, plant-based, which was very important to me, and that I was taking every night before I went to bed, and all of that was helping me stay recovered. And I felt fresh the next day. The only time I was tired was mentally because I'm not getting enough sleep, but physically I felt so good. I felt really good.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
The protein thing, you can actually, if you get like a plant-based yogurt, like a coconut yogurt or something, I'll sometimes do it with that. So I'll put a scoop in with a little bit of plant-based yogurt and it goes so creamy. It's really, really good.
I gotta do that. See, and I eat yogurt all the time. See, that's a great idea. Now I'm gonna have to try that.
There you go, man. And with the banana and cinnamon too, it's bomb. It works really well.
Yeah. You're sustained the hydration one that you guys have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and I was like, I hope in the future you guys make some kind of like I was thinking, like an electrolyte thing, because with that, whenever I feel dehydrated, I can tell. I just make a glass and chug that, and within minutes, like 20 minutes in, I feel so good.
Amazing.
Before I go out to do a run when I feel like I didn't drink enough water. So that I was also having before I go out when I was like sweating a lot. So Vivo Life, the food I was eating and like all that stuff, like foam rolling, because people don't see the behind the scene. If I didn't do that, there's no way I would be able to get up every day for 7 consecutive days putting that much miles in. Yeah.
So the food aside then, so the recovery, obviously a lot of foam rolling. Mm-hmm. I would assume a lot of sleep too. Is there anything else that you're doing as part of that?
The sleep, actually the night before, so the Sunday night, I was starting on Monday the 1st. There's a power outage in the town I was in. It just happened. Right. And the lights didn't turn on till late. So I didn't go to bed till 2:50 something a.m. because I was prepping myself. I don't know if you saw, I had all this KT tape on my body. It was all like my leg. It was just all preventive measure. I didn't have any injuries. I just looked up, did researches, how to prevent runner's knee or how to support your knee and stuff if you're having hip that are tight. So I just taped all this stuff on myself. So I had to do that overnight. And I went to bed. I woke up at 4:50. So I got like 2 hour plus sleep.
Oh.
And I was running on that the first day. And then I did that the second and third day. Fourth day, I felt it. So I slept until 8. But sleeping was the game changer. I would get up a little later and I felt better. And I would have to run a little later because I woke up later. The goal was to get up as early as possible and miss the heat wave that was in the middle of the day. Mm. So I don't have to deal with that and not hurt myself. But foam rolling and all of that stuff, that also helped. I felt the difference with all of that.
Awesome. Yeah, sleep is one of those things that I think it's the first thing that people compromise when they're, okay, well, it's very easy to say, well, I want to train in the morning, I've got work, so I'm going to have an hour less in bed. And whilst I understand that sometimes like sleep is the most important thing for recovery, when hormonally we recover, mentally, physically we recover. And, you know, I've been guilty of it myself. I very, very easily will say, no, I'll just, you know, catch up at the weekend or something. But as an athlete, it must make such a difference to you.
Yeah, it does. Definitely. I had to start waking up late because my body, the 4 a.m. Wake up to start at 5 a.m. wasn't working anymore after the first 3-4 days. So I had to sleep in and start that at 9 a.m. and I felt the difference. Yeah. And you can see in my face too, if you go on the video I made about it, the first day morning I'm excited, second day I'm like talking while like my face is telling you he's sleepy right now until I get going. You could see it clearly that I wasn't getting enough sleep.
That's so funny. Yeah. I watched that video actually. I'm gonna have to go back and go back and see it. I liked how you again you it was about completing it, right? So I remember seeing some of the later runs, you were taking it at a much slower pace.
Yeah.
And dude, you mentioned earlier before we started recording, you just so happened to pick the hottest week of the whole year to do it in as well.
It was a bad idea. And I didn't plan on to, it just happened. I was like, oh, I want to start on the first. Now I'm like, oh shoot, this week is gonna be really hot, but we gotta do it. There's one run I remember specifically. I went out for 5 miles. I came in, recovered, took all my gel food, ate a big old change. I went out to run 7 miles because I was feeling good. And the heat was so extreme. I was so sweaty and I couldn't, sweat's getting in my eyes and I couldn't stop dripping. And it got to a point where like my feet were soaked in my own sweat in my shoes.
Wow.
It was just coming down my legs into my socks. So my whole shoes, I was running in a puddle of sweat. I can feel it. And I got to about, I called my girlfriend, thank God to Apple technology. Yeah. I don't have to have my phone with me. So I just said, hey, see you call so-and-so. So I called her. I said, hey, I'm getting closer to home. Can you meet me at this stop and bring water? Because I really need it. And I had electrolytes in a small bottle with me. And so it was, I met her like 0.45 away from home.
No,
I had to stop. And when she saw me, she knew I was exhausted. And I felt exhausted. So I'm drinking. I just started chugging this water. As soon as I did that, within like 3-4 minutes, I'm like, all right, I'm good. I just needed water on top of what I was. Yeah. And I got up and finished the last less than half a mile to get home. But when I got home at that point, I was so scared for my well-being, not like the physical part, but like, you know, you like when you feel like your body's starting to get weak, say, I got to find a treadmill somehow. So we started looking for a treadmill, like text some friends that are near. And then I had a neighbor who owns a UFC gym.
Okay.
It's closed down, but he has access of opening a door so I can go in. And so when you see me on a treadmill, one of them was a friend, family friend of mine I was on by myself. And then the guy across the street from us has a UFC gym. He's a co-owner. So I went in there. I was on a treadmill for like so many miles that day, I think. And I did like how many miles outside? Maybe like 20 miles outside. And then the last 12 to 15 was inside on a treadmill. And I was on a treadmill that day. I needed to. It was so hot that day. It was so humid. And I just needed to be on there. So I was so grateful that I was able to use the treadmill to get some miles in. But also, when I was done with the treadmill, I was like, I don't want to go back onto this. But 5 miles on a treadmill felt like I was on it for 3 hours.
Yeah, I can imagine because you're not getting that change in scenery or you're not getting the fresh air, right? And it's just like step after step after step.
Yeah. And then it's just me with like no music. I'm like just in the gym facing a glass window and just running in there. And that was it. It was good because I needed to be cooler. And I saw the difference because people were saying, oh, you sweat quicker on treadmill, but it was so much cooler in there. I can see it was taking me a while for my shirt to be completely wet versus when I'm outside within not even half a mile in, I'm starting to drain and sweat. So, yeah, so that was also interesting on the video.
You're a crazy man, Hella.
Yeah, thank you.
Really, really are, like in the best possible way.
Thank you.
I imagine there's a tendency when you tell someone you run every day and you have done for the last year for people to talk about the physical benefits, right? The health benefits, the physical challenges as well. But the thing that intrigues me the most is the mental benefits that come from this. And seeing you and seeing your positivity, there's no, like, you're living proof that this is mentally working too. What changes have you observed in your mental state in the past 3 years? And how has it changed you as a person?
My mood, I'm always excited. I see, and then my level of energy is there, especially when I do it the first thing I get up. I see the difference. It sets the tone for the day. And I just feel good spiritually, if that makes any sense.
Mm.
And I feel like I did something for myself to be better, even though it's the same kind of thing. And at the end of the day, no matter if I'm doing the same distance minimum, every run is different. You get up, some are slower, some are harder, some are hotter days, windier, colder. So there's always some, even if you do the same route over, there's something different about it, how your body feels. So mentally is the biggest thing. And then I feel invincible. That's the best part. So that time of the day, you feel like you could do anything. You feel so invincible. You feel like your confidence is on another level. And it kind of proves to you that, you know what, if I'm able to run 2 miles, 7 miles in a day, that's not easy. It's doable. But that means I could do other things that I was afraid of. So that I'm reassured of that every single day. And then sometimes I look forward to the hard days because I want to almost like suffer to know that when the hard times come, I'm ready mentally. It's like building a callus in the back of my head. If you think this is rough, life is going to get rougher. So if it is, you're going to be ready for it because you've dealt with this a little bit. You got a little bit of a punch in the gut to have a feeling for it. And the tough days also, I want to feel it because when I'm running across the country, that's what I have to go through. So when I go out there, I'm like, I want this to be a tough run. And I'm just mentally preparing myself. This is going to be a tough day. My legs are going to be heavy today. It's going to be tight today. But there's no way around it. As long as I don't stop, it doesn't matter how slow or fast I go. So all that, the mind, it just feels good. You feel good about yourself. And then you just can't help it. People say, hey, why are you always smiling? And I said, I think because I'm doing something I enjoy. That has a lot to do with it. And so the mental health of it is just my biggest. And I tell people, don't worry about, people say, I want to run to look good. I said, well, if that's your goal, good. But think about the happiness also, because sometimes we think certain things will make us happy until we get it. And then we're not fully satisfied within ourselves internally. So you got to go beyond just what a visual or whatever. It has to be all in the mind first. When the mind is what's happy, all those little things will fall into places. And then that just add more happiness to the joy you already have.
For sure.
Yeah.
You've dropped something twice now, so I wanna move on to that.
Yeah.
You said, when I run across the country. Uh-huh. So talk to me about that challenge and what it is you're looking to do there. And obviously, I know we were actually talking about doing it around this time of year, but that's been pushed back. Do you have dates in your mind now?
I want to do it toward the fall. Okay. And I'm actually glad that it got pushed back because this heat. Because when I'm going through the desert, I'm like, oh, some stuff happens for a reason. But the reason with this COVID stuff that's going on, kind of made me not forget about it, but not try to push it too hard right now, because I want this to be a community thing. I don't want it to be about me. I want people to be able to follow me on Strava, jump in for a couple miles on the same route. If I'm in your state, you can jump in and run a couple miles. And I'm doing it for a cause, Soul for Soul. So they're helping give people shoes. There's 300 million people in the world that don't have shoes. And I know what a pair of shoes means to me. Even growing up in Africa, we didn't have the luxury of having new shoes every holidays or whatever. So you have one pair of shoes that could last 2-3 years. And if you don't take care of it, then you're not going to get one for a while. So I want to make sure that I raise shoes or money for that nonprofit. And so we wanted to start in LA YouTube space and finish in New York City YouTube space. I've contacted them. They were okay with it. So it wanted to be an event where people can meet with me when we start. And then we have like a finishing celebration in the end. So that involves a whole community. So with COVID, you can't have too many people going on. And so I wanted to be about people, not about me. Because if it was about me, if I get that RV, I'll just run every day and just update people. So it's much bigger than what I'm trying to do. And then along the journey, I want people to know that there's a lot of stuff that that's happening in this world. With a little bit of self-sacrifice, we can all do our part and make it a little easier. And if a lot of us do that, we're going to get to the end of the problem. We're going to solve it much quicker. So that's the whole goal of this run across the United States. So no matter what, I will do it. I'll find a way to do it. I just don't know exact date, but my goal is to still do it this year. If not, I guess we have to wait till 2021.
I don't doubt you for a second, man. Yeah. There's a man with a mission, and I know you're not gonna stop. How do you manage the logistics of that? Are you camping along the way? Do you have a support vehicle? What does that look like?
Yeah, we're trying. The reason it was delayed, I wanted to start March 15th. Was the RV. It's so difficult to find RVs, and they're so expensive. We reach out to RV companies, like the rental, like renting it for that amount of days, you might as well buy the RV. Right. It's like 20-30 grand for the RV, like rental we're talking about. And it's and a lot of them, they won't even try to work with you, like do some kind of partnership. So the RV is the biggest problem, and that part was or tough. And I had people to like in terms of so I have you guys, I'm gonna need a lot of protein shake. And even the people I've run it, I've contacted them, they say a lot of shakes, a lot of things like that can get calories into your body. So we're finding little things to get us there, but the form of transportation is the biggest right now. Having an RV and then being able to refuel the RV, because the RV is not going to be driving efficiently. It's going to go ahead 5 miles, and I meet it 5 miles. I eat, I refuel, I continue. So it's going to be driving slow. So that'll be our home, mobile home. Because if you go to a hotel, you got to get off route, find the nearest hotel. That could be another 10, 20 miles or 20 minutes. You got to come back in, and that's going to delay and takes a lot of time. And then having an RV would be perfect. So if I'm like, have all this laundry that needs to be washed, while I'm doing the next 5 miles, which I'm going to take my time with, the RV could find the local laundromat and then do it and then meet me at the next stop. Things like that. Or like if I need to pick food up or something needs to happen, something needs to be dropped off to me, they can pick up and all that. So I think that's the biggest factor. If we find an RV, I think we're going to be, I say 60% of the way to get going. So that's what we're.
And I think there's a lot to be said for like having your space too. I know from experience when I've been on the road, and I'm going from hotel to hotel, it's very hard to feel like grounded. And some places, like, you don't sleep so well in the bed. Some places you feel like there's noises going on. You can't get that recovery. I know. So here in the UK, when we had the 2012 Olympics, there was a big study on how like a lot of our athletes that were winning and getting gold medals, when they were traveling, the cyclists, they would bring the same bed sheets, the same pillows, and the same mattresses to the hotels, so that they could, like, so they had that feeling
that's
of comfort.
They knew, very important.
And they knew what it's like. So having that space that's yours, man, I think is going to be really important for the recovery.
I believe it. Even top athletes say, I love home games because I got to sleep in my own bed. I'm more refreshed. When you go away, it's different and your body reacts differently.
And how many people as well have dreamed of doing a road trip across the USA? Not only are you doing that, you're doing it all on foot as well.
I want to do it all on foot, yeah.
Crazy, man. The scenery and the people you're going to see. And I imagine there's going to be such a community part to it as well.
That's what I wanted to be, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And if I, no matter how slow I go, I'm as long as I finish. So that's the goal. As long as I complete from West Coast to East Coast.
Amazing.
Yeah, and then after that, we're coming for the UK.
Yo, you better believe it.
For sure, for sure.
It's a lot smaller though. You'd finish.
One at a time.
You'd have to. I'm trying to think. How many miles is it? Do you know?
3,100 and change. Yeah, so what I would do in a year, not even, that's what I have to try to do in 3 months time, at three months, a little over 3 months at most. So I want to do it in 2.5 months.
Wow. So yeah. I'm just going to Google the width of the UK so I can try and put that into perspective. So the width of the UK is 300 miles.
Oh,
so,
300 miles?
So you'd have to go have to do 10 laps.
So I had to do only 55 more miles from the week that I ran to finish the UK. Wow, that's very encouraging. So it's not too bad.
Dude, you'd be home by the weekend if you came here.
I definitely would have to do that, the UK.
Definitely, man. Definitely, we'll make it happen. When travel was a thing again, then we will make that happen. Yeah. Tell me, and obviously for the listeners' benefit, tell me more about Soul to Soul and the work that they do, because it sounds like an amazing charity.
Yeah, they're a nonprofit organization. And the CEO actually is a runner. I was told he's a runner, and so basically they try to bring shoes to those who don't have it. And not just like everywhere in the world, but also within the United States. So according to their studies and what I've seen from them, is like 300 million plus people don't have shoes. So that's a lot of people. So we're talking about like literally the population of the United States. That's a lot of people. And shoes is very important. Like anything you did. When I was a young kid, we played football on the streets. You come home, your foot is bleeding. We don't have shoes. We play barefoot. And we're playing on dirt with rocks, with gravel. So, and having something that could literally change your life, a pair of shoes does that. And the fact that they're doing something like that, that related a lot to me, not just growing up with not having the luxury of having shoes, but the fact that for me to run, I need to have a pair of shoes, a good pair of shoes in terms of preventing injuries. So it kind of ties together very well, because I was looking at all these organizations, what could I run for? And I happened to find them, and I reached out to them and said, hey, I'm thinking about running across the country. I want to help you guys and raise more shoes and money for your nonprofit organization to help all the kids around the world that are in need of shoes.
Incredible, man.
Yeah.
We talk about privileges and shoes, you know, it's such a basic thing that we can take for granted, just lacing up our shoes and going out for a walk or a run or whatever it is, and to not have that ability, you know, it just changes everything.
Yeah, exactly. It really does.
Respect, man. I've loved every second of this podcast. I got so inspiring talking to you, and like I could feel your energy. I feel it when I watch you through the screen, and I feel it now when you're talking. And that I think is your superpower. That way of being able to smile through the challenges, the good times and the difficult times.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that I hear now that say, "Oh, yeah, I've started running because of Hella. You know, he's been doing it every day for 3 years, and now I've started." And the movement that's creating is incredible, man. So just hats off to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I appreciate your kind words.
And if people want to find out more about you, where can they find you?
I'm on YouTube, Hella Good. So it's HELLAHGOD. So Hella Good. And then on Instagram, it's Hella Good with just the number 9. Right after. Football thing. That was my number. So on Instagram.
You're a striker?
I was a midfielder wearing number 10. And then when I went to college, I was a striker and a winger. So number 9. So, and then my birthday is on the 9th. So it was like my favorite number. So nice. I was always wearing 9. Everything I did had number 9 on it. So yeah, Instagram is HellaGood9. YouTube is just HellaGood.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So I'm always on there weekly on YouTube, and then basically daily Instagram story and post feeds as much as I can. Yes.
Let's get it. Let's go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the mentality. Just got to get up and get after it. No matter what. Yeah.
One foot in front of the other, man.
Yeah. So
respect, brother. Really, really enjoyed this. Thank you everyone for being part of it and for listening. And don't forget to go out and check out Hella's Instagram, YouTube.
Thank you.
Bagel recipes, what I eat in a day's recovery runs, everything, right?
Yeah, exactly. Everything. Yes.
Love. Thank you, brother.
All right. Thank you.